I don't know if we've had better singing that in a long time. As we look at ourselves and kind of reminded of some things that were brought up in Sunday school this morning, we who are saved by the power of God through His Holy Spirit, we tend sometimes, and maybe it's a cultural thing, I don't know, to think that we are to live our lives unto perfection. And though that should be our goal, unfortunately, it is not our reality. As we've looked at the people that God has used, chosen, saved, given faith throughout all of history, from Noah to David to the Apostle Peter, we struggle and need God to continually bring us back to Him. And that's what Jesus is trying to do as we finish out this 8th chapter of John. This has been between the latter half of chapter 7 and the entirety of chapter 8, this has been a very antagonistic time for Christ. The Jews are constantly beating Him up on different subjects. Whether they're trying to trick Him into saying something that's not true, or just not believing what He's saying. And Jesus is held tight through all of this. And we're going to see in this last half of chapter 8 just how Jesus handles this situation. And in a sense, it's the way that the world handles things. Whether it's in politics, marriage, family discussions, or even the truths of Christianity, we tend to be abused in some form by those who are not agreeing with us. We then try to give them the truth of the situation, and then an invitation for them to make peace. So as we look at verses 48 through the end of the chapter this morning, kind of keep that in mind. The abuse or the question, the truth that's given, and then the gracious invitation that comes along. So let's read one more time this morning. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 48. The Jews answered and said to Him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" And Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you're not any greater than our father Abraham, who died. And the prophets, they died too. So whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar, like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And therefore they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let's pray. Father, I just ask your blessing upon, Lord, this reading of your word. Father, as we exposit this passage this morning, may we see you in all your glory and all your radiance. Lord, may you be our focus. Father, may we see Jesus this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as Jesus is going back and forth with the Jews, as we've seen over the last couple weeks, they are saying that they are fine. Their relationship with God is just awesome because Abraham is their father. They're of the lineage of Abraham. They do what Abraham does. And we claim God as our Father. Jesus, coming back at them and says, you do have a father, but your father is Satan, and you know not the things of God. For if you knew the Father, you would also accept me, his son. I mean, these guys thought they had everything covered. They were putting their faith and their hope in themselves and within their works. My knowledge of God, my legacy of being of the seed of Abraham. I mean, their arrogance went far. Remember Jesus' meeting with the rich young ruler. Keep this commandment, keep that commandment, keep this commandment. I've kept all of those. He honestly thought he was able to keep all the commandments of God. The arrogance. So this is the kind of crowd that Jesus is talking to. So after his last answer to them, verse 47, he who is of God hears the words of God, and for this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. So verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? What would be the proper way for these Jews to have answered Christ? Anybody got any idea? I mean, this is not the right way. The proper way, these who are so knowledgeable of Scripture, should have been to go back to Scripture and tell Christ, well, this is what the Scriptures say. The problem is they don't believe what the Scriptures say because Christ is giving them the Scriptures. And just like two kids on a playground, my daddy is bigger than your daddy. No, my daddy is bigger than yours. The Jews come back at Christ, hurling insults. I mean, we see this every year. I mean, anytime there's any kind of a political contest, this is brought up. You know, facts don't matter. It's what kind of colorful words I can talk about your candidate. So the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? I mean, they're coming at the Son of God, God incarnate, and laying out two ridiculous charges. One, that he's a Samaritan, and the other, that he has a demon. I mean, where's the Samaritan part come in? Samaritans, to the Jews, were the most despicable of people. I mean, in their ratings of people, Jews were up on top. Then Gentiles, which they hated. So, I mean, the gulf between a Jew and a Gentile was huge. And then underneath a Gentile was a Samaritan. Because back when the northern part of Jerusalem, or of Israel, as it collapsed, as the people fled, some of the Jews remained back. They intermarried with the people, the pagan people that came in to the land. And since the capital of the north was Samaria, hence they became known as Samaritans. So basically the Jews were telling Jesus, you are worse than a Gentile. You're a Samaritan. And then you have a demon. Can you imagine? And Jesus answered. Now this was their abuse, as we're following the logic in this. So Jesus comes back and gives them truth. I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. So Jesus gives truth. The truth should have went, gotten into their heads somehow, and caused them to at least ask questions. But when we think we know everything, i.e. political contests, questions don't come up. People don't care. And the Jews thought they were right in all of their doings. I do not have a demon. I honor my Father. They should have, when Jesus says, you dishonor the Father, they should have been asking, how? Okay, smart guy, tell me how we're dishonoring the Father. But they didn't care. And after the truth, verse 51, Jesus gives a gracious invitation. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Take the truth that I have given you. Come to me. Accept it. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, remember, during this time, death was pretty prevalent. I mean, this isn't Genesis. This isn't pre-flood. People didn't live 1,000 years. Lifespan of people during this time, it was tough. It was hard to find food. It was hard to stay away from danger. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. I mean, that would intrigue me. Tell me more about this not seeing death. But, verse 52, the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. But you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. No questions, just jumping to conclusions. Surely, you are not greater than our father Abraham who died, and the prophets who died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And I'm probably, there's no proof of this, but I'm kind of picturing those within the crowd. Yeah, you Samaritan. Yeah, you demon. The name calling. The lack of understanding. The abuse. Jesus comes back with them again in verse 54 with the truth. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not come to know him. But I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I'll be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Their goal was to get Jesus to say, you're right. My eyes have been opened. God is your Father. He's not mine. Jesus says, if I were to agree with what you say, I would be a liar. If I were to say that God was not my Father, I would be lying. In the same way you are lying now when you say that God is your Father. The antagonism, the anger that's going through this crowd. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham was promised a Messiah back when God gave him the Abrahamic covenant. Through your seed, all the world will be blessed. And Abraham saw the fulfillment of that promise upon his death. Where we read in the book of Hebrews, his faith made him whole. Jesus says, you think you know all about Abraham. You don't. You know, as I was present with Abraham, even in the Old Testament, as the angel of the Lord, maybe even in the person of Melchizedek, as Abraham, upon his departure from this planet, truly saw who I was. And Jesus looks at them, gives them another invitation that they take as the worst kind of blasphemy. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. This is the most pinpointed truth that Jesus could give. If we were to kind of translate this a little bit, Jesus says to them, before Abraham was born, I am Yahweh. I am He who spoke through the burning bush. When Moses said, who do I tell the people? Sent me. God said, you tell them I am that I am sent me. The Jews, for the most part, they would not verbalize Yahweh. When they wrote Yahweh, whether transcribing scripture or however, as they would come upon that word, they would stop. They would go and cleanse themselves. They would write Yahweh, and then they would go back, cleanse themselves again, and continue in their writings. And Jesus looks at them, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. And this knocked them for a loop. Again, their question should have been, how does he have the courage, have the gumption, have the strength within himself to even say the word Yahweh, let alone attribute it to himself? Jesus, what do you mean by that? Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The last line of people's defense against improper knowledge and improper truth is always violence. Things I don't understand in this. I mean, you have Christ who lives his life full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that is how he is sinless. In his humanity. Because the Holy Spirit is within him, and he's full of the Holy Spirit. Yet these people who claim to know God cannot see the power of God within Christ. Did Jesus fail his evangelism 101 course? I mean, where was the invitation? You know, as they're picking up stones, maybe Jesus could break out in 24 choruses of "Just As I Am." They pick up stones. Everything he says just bounces off of them. A couple things I want to look at as a result of that for us. If every person that Jesus talked to about the truth of who he was, if not everyone accepted his plea, how should we feel when people reject ours? It's going to happen. See, it's not necessarily the message. It's how the people react to that message. And folks, we've got friends, neighbors, children, maybe even some of us in this room that believe we have a handle on who God is and what He wants. But we don't always hear the truth of Scripture. There's many within Christianity today that pick and choose what parts of this word they want to obey. That's hard. My children don't know the Lord. I've prayed for years. It's time to give up. No. We go on with all the fervor more and more. My parents don't know Christ. I've preached to them until I'm blue in the face. It's a lost cause. Forgive me, God, I'm just not going to do it anymore. No. We persevere. We throw the seed. We pray that God helps that seed land on good, fertile soil. Were the Jews incapable of coming to the knowledge of Christ? No. Because we have the words of truth. We are able, by His power, to live those words of truth. Sometimes living those words, we feel don't do any good. But they do. This could have been the end of Jesus' ministry. He could have packed it all up. Oh, they're trying to kill me. But there's still another 10 chapters of Christ's life that we're going to be looking at. Before Abraham was, I am. Father, as we conclude this passage today, may we recognize You for who You are. You aren't just some nice guy that walked this earth some 2,000 years ago. You weren't some beatnik that was trying to throw a party. You weren't some revolutionary trying to change the physical world. But Jesus, you were, are, and always will be God. And Father, may we see the power of your Son lived out within us. Father, may the world see Jesus in us. Father, may we be obedient to the message of the cross to all that we meet. Father, I thank you for these dear people. Father, I thank you for the love that they show towards you. And Father, I pray that within each and every one of us that love is true truth. Show us through your word and the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.